Welcome to the Flow State Podcast, where we're all about finding balance. We're your hosts, Monica Groney
and Nora Candido. Now let's get into the flow.
Welcome back, Flow State listeners. Another beautiful week that we get to share with you. And as always, we are delighted to host a special guest. Miss Hannah Finnessy is here with us today, who is the creator of Soul Trust Ignite, which is a well-being organization. She is a meditation coach, well-being facilitator, and is on a mission to ignite inner wisdom through introspective personal discovery and interactive community connection so that we can live lives we truly cherish. Welcome, Hannah. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you both so much for having me. A true pleasure to be on the podcast with both of you.
We're so grateful to have you. This is going to be an exciting conversation. I think Nora and I both really appreciate your approach to meditation and community. And for our listeners, you know, we talk about stress and stress management as being a huge part of our overall well-being, but also our hormone health. And I think that this type of practice, this type of habit in your life can be really, really beneficial. But so many of us are like, but it feels so intimidating.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, maybe you can share with us a little bit on like how you got into meditation and a little bit more about your story and background.
Yeah, I would love to. I think it's always kind of start with, okay, why do I meditate first and foremost? And like that leads into why I'm now a meditation coach and well-being facilitator, because I actually dove into the practice at a time in my life when I really needed it and was feeling really low. And I think just giving people that permission slip of being open to finding tools that might support you in the low lows and not letting go of them, even when you're feeling really good in life. So I guess, you know, rewinding, I grew up in a suburb outside of Boston in an incredibly loving large family. I'm one of five children. And if you know New England, you know a little bit about just the like frenetic overachievery energy that can kind of live in the space. So I was very much in that New England prep school world. I like to say overachiever and people pleaser were a tie for my middle name. And that was my normal, right? That was just how I grew up. And whether we have done the rewiring or not, we all pick up on these conditioned ways of being from when we're born, how we need to adjust ourselves to receive love, validation, and belonging. So fast forward my entire life to 2018. I'm sure we'll get more into the what happened in between, but I moved back to Boston, right? So I had gone to college. I was in Colorado for most of my post-college years and recently had taken a job in the Bahamas. And like, I moved back, right? Like I was home. I was doing the thing that I thought I should be doing. Like everyone was doing it, right? You just move home and got an apartment in the South End. You know, I was living in a brownstone apartment, had a really great nonprofit job. I was running marathons. I was going to Barry's Boot Camp, Orange Theory, you know, sushi dinners with the girls. And there was so much that appeared great, right? And happy on the outside. Like everything was fine. You were doing all the things. I was doing all the things. And yet there was like a deep knowing that I was really unfulfilled and really unhappy. And it really didn't hit me until I went to a doctor's appointment and was complaining of like this heaviness on my chest, feeling like I was having trouble breathing. And I walked out of that doctor's appointment with a prescribed inhaler and with a little pat on the back like, okay, honey, if you need medicine, you know, come back later. You know, plenty of my friends were recommending antidepressants. And I was just in this, like, I just had this feeling of, like, this isn't my approach to healing. Like, I don't need this inhaler. What I need is an inside-out approach. And so really dove into meditation, retreats. I hired coaches, and I really, like, took my healing into my own hands to do a lot of that unwiring and rediscovering who I am at my core essence, right? Like this soul that lives within all of us. And I always like to say, healing to me is like climbing a mountain, but the peak gets higher and higher as you continue your climb. So you never really get there, right? Healing is never a done, check the box, look at me, mom, I did it. But with your continued climbing, you get more perspectives. You have a better view. You're able to say, hey guys, I just did that last pass. Like, let me show you. If you go around this rock, it's like really great. And if you hang on here, you're going to get a better grip. And so I love to use that analogy because for me, like, healing is, you're never done. I'm always going to be a student first and so committed to learning and growing over time. And meditation for me was that entry point. It was that permission to fall in love with who I am. That was a lot.
Hey there, Flow State Podcast listeners. It's your host, Monica. I wanted to interrupt this episode real quick to share with you a little bit about my brand, Mireya. Mireya is a nutritional company that helps support women who are dealing with symptoms of hormone imbalance. I don't know about you, but I struggled with awful periods for over 17 years. Head back to season 1, episode 5 to learn more about my story and struggles with PMDD. When I discovered the life-changing benefits of having a solid foundational multivitamin in my everyday routine, my life was changed forever. I had more energy, my moods were balanced, I was able to resume life as usual, and feeling normal sometimes just feels so freaking good. That's why I teamed up with dietitians, nutritionists, naturopathic doctors, and OBGYN to create the best possible foundational multivitamin for women who experience symptoms of hormone imbalance. I am so excited to share this with you. If you haven't checked it out yet, head to www.mireyawellness.com. And of course, for all of our listeners, I have a special discount. You can use the code FLOWPOD, FLOWPOD at checkout to get a special discount. Okay, back to the episode.
Thank you for sharing that. And I feel like the whole time I was just like nodding my head, like, yes. And so many people I know listening will relate to that experience that you had while you're in Boston of like, something's just not right. Something's out of alignment, and you can feel it. You can feel it in your body. And sometimes it's even hard to pinpoint that it's what it is. You're just like, it's just like an itch, you know, that I can't seem to scratch and I'm uncomfortable. And gosh, it takes so much courage to be able to actually see it and do the work. And it's so cool that your experience led you to start a business around it. And I love your approach with it of that it's connected to self-love. Because I think so often when we hear meditation, we hear like, oh, I'm sitting there with my eyes closed and I have to just make my brain go blank, which it sounds like not your approach. Is that right?
Yeah, very much not my approach. I think everybody owes it to themselves to spend intentional quality time with yourself every single day. And whether you consider this your quote unquote meditation or not, like, I don't care what it's called. What I really care about is that you love yourself enough to spend time with yourself. It is so rooted in self-love for me. And when we're living these lives of autopilot and seeking external validation or approval, which I did for so much of my life, like, I didn't know that
I could trust myself because I really didn't know who I was underneath all of these layers of identity and ego. And so, yes, you're right, Monica, like that self-love is so critical and is a really foundational tool for Soul Trust Ignite and for the practice of meditation.
I've had the privilege of hearing you explain Soul Trust Ignite before, but I really love the root of your name and why you've chose it. I would love for you to share that with our listeners too.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for asking because I feel like I don't share this enough. Soul Trust Ignite was created really intentionally as a three-part methodology, super flexible framework approach to personal discovery and healing. Soul is the first piece. And that is really the opportunity to reconstruct your identity, do the unwiring of old conditioned beliefs, and fall in love with who you were made to be, right? This like amazing soul who came into the world, like, oh my gosh, this is life. I get to be this person. Like, I'm just a spirit, but now I get to embody this human body. And like remembering that unique essence. The trust is the second piece. And that is really, really hard work. This is building a relationship of trust with this truest, most authentic version of yourself. And in this trust phase, this includes a lot of building boundaries. This includes a lot of showing up the way that you feel so aligned with. And the Ignite piece is the last piece. This is the fun and sexy piece that a lot of people like to skip right on over to, right? This is like manifest miracles, baby. Like, let's just do it. And that is amazing. And you can't get there unless you do the work to get there in a way that is in authentic alignment with your soul desires. So in this Ignite phase, that's like, this is when we get to take those inspired, aligned actions that are in harmony with your soul and your values.
The Nutrition with Nora Academy is here, an online platform built to empower you through education around your health from a trusted source, me, Nora, your registered dietitian. Come here to learn, see community, accountability, and get your questions answered through workshops, events, and guest expert sessions. As a valued Flow State listener, you will receive a special discount. I'm overjoyed to have an accessible place for individuals to come, learn, and work with me. Come check it out.
I love that. And I think that's why, like, I just think you're such a special provider, coach, and guide for a lot of individuals. And I'll speak truthfully that I have found it very challenging to adopt a continual meditation practice. And I know I'm not alone. And I think it is just because of when I do allow my mind to get quiet, I'm going through my to-do lists and I lean on more of like guided meditations because it allows my brain to be active so that I'm distracted in a sense. And I mean, I've talked to you about all of these things before, but I think just sharing like what people perceive as what meditation should look like versus what it actually can look like. And if you can illuminate that for people.
Yes, for sure. A quote that I really love by Rumi is, are you making regular visits to yourself? And that to me is kind of the essence of meditation, is this openness to get curious about who you are. So for those that have tried meditations time and time again and have deemed themselves a meditation failure, you are not a failure. You just haven't found a practice that really suits your lifestyle, that suits your personality, that is really supportive in creating a life that feels in authentic alignment. Meditation is this ancient practice. There are so many different forms of meditation, and you owe it to yourself in this modern day society to appreciate meditation for what it is and personalize the practice. Find something that works for you. Maybe it's not a 20 minutes twice a day seated meditation on your meditation pillow by your altar with your incense facing east at sunrise. Maybe it's not that.
Sounds strict. Sounds a little strict.
And I think like that rigidity and that strictness is the piece that holds people back, right? It's like, oh no, I don't meditate. I don't have the time. I can't shut down my busy mind. I don't do it right. I can't sit still. And so I think like there are so many different approaches.
What are some of the approaches that you've seen with people you've worked with that are like, oh, this is like that are different, I guess?
Yeah. I'll walk you through kind of my 5-part meditation framework that I've put together. And step one is, how much time do I have? And that sounds like a really masculine and structural question, but that's the number one question. That's the number one pushback that I get is, that's cute, Hannah. And I'm a really busy person and I don't have time for that. And so my question is, well, how much time do you have? Do you have 3 intentional breaths? Because if you have 3 intentional breaths, that is a meditation practice. So find out how much time you have.
Well, and that in itself makes it so much more accessible, like what you just said, like super accessible. 3 breaths, that's it.
Yeah. And being aware of the energy that you're going in with those 3 breaths, right? It's not, okay, I should do this. I'm told this is going to work for me. I need to have a meditation practice. It's, okay, I have 3 breaths. I am going to take the 3 most intentional breaths that I can. And that's going to be the most intentional time that I get to spend with myself today. And I'm celebrating myself for that. So it's the energy of like desire rather than should. The second part of the framework, the second question is, how is my body feeling? What is my body needing right now? So tuning into your body, do I need to sit down? Do I need to lay down? Or do I need to move? Maybe I need to walk. And any 3 of those things, you can have a great meditation practice while doing. So if you need to be moving, there's nothing wrong with that. The third piece is connect with your why. This is really important. And this goes along with like the energy of going into your practice. Connect with your why. And this can be like connecting with your top core values or activating gratitude for what you're feeling grateful for in this moment. And that practice alone amplifies the effects of your meditation, right? I am going into this meditation like rooted in love today, like rooted in love for myself, for my family, for my partner, and for this world. Then begin your practice. Step number 4 is tuning into your emotional state and where you are feeling activated. So actually, there are 2 main different camps of meditation. There are thousands out there, but the 2 main camps are really like this extraoceptive practice or introspective practice. So if you are feeling like noticing, where am I feeling activated? Where I always say like, where is the heat right now? So if the heat is really in my monkey mind and I'm feeling like I can't get out of my own thoughts, I'm like ruminating in the past, I'm feeling super anxious about the future, and all of my heat is right here, right? Loaded in my prefrontal cortex, loaded in this monkey mind. It's going to be really supportive for me to do an extraoceptive practice. So we're taking the heat and we're moving some of the heat outside. So we're creating more of a balance in our nervous system. So different extraoceptive practices are really those like mindfulness-based practice. These are our concentration-based practices. These are our nature walks, our noticings, our body scans. Because when we're feeling really activated internally, we need to ground ourselves in our physical environment, right? can cultivate this sense of peace, of stableness, and concentrating on things that are in our physical 3D plane will be really supportive for bringing us out of our monkey minds and anchoring us in our environments. Alternatively, the interoceptive practices, these are more your inner wisdom practices, clarity practices, like tuning in. These practices are going to be really supportive when you're feeling the heat externally, when you are feeling really overstimulated in your environment, whether you're preparing for an event or you're needing to make a really big decision. So the heat is externally. So you're going to invite your consciousness within, tune into your inner wisdom that is always alive within you if you take the time to notice it, and allow the clarity to come from within. What is this experience here to teach me? Where is my inner wisdom guiding me right now? And to be quite frank, like a lot of meditations will involve some semblance of both, right? Extraceptive and introceptive. But it's really great for you to have this awareness so that you know what is going to support you. And the last step, step number 5, is what am I taking away? This is a step that we can easily skip, right? What am I implementing from this practice into my everyday life? We don't meditate to become expert meditators. Like, that's just not the goal. We meditate to bring more peace and fulfillment into our daily lives. So what are the threads of our practice that we can glean and use in our daily lives? That was a lot. That was the 5 steps.
That was amazing. And like, I connect so much with, I think it was for me really reaffirming the episode that Nora and I just recorded, even with me talking about some of the things going on in my life and like my process for figuring it out. It's taken a lot of these like introspection and insight and calming of myself, but I hadn't labeled it as a meditation. So I think even people hearing that, it's like, where in my life am I already doing this? And I'm just not even giving myself the credit for it.
Yeah, I love that so much. You're already doing it.
I think it's so, like, I had never heard it explained that way. And I think that's such a unique and beautiful approach. And as you were saying in the beginning, too, is like, it's just the overall intention. And I really believe in the way that we talk to ourselves and how, like, what is the intention behind our actions? Because you can do something, like you said, like, I should do these 3 breaths. But if that's the intention, then the outcome is going to be very different. Instead, tuning into, like, what do I truly need? And how can I support myself through this process, too? What is the point of doing this? What's my why? What's the intention behind doing these 3 breaths? I'm not obligated to do any of this work. So I think it's, again, like, this is why I really wanted to have you on and to share this with people, just because it doesn't have to look a certain way and it can shape shift too. I think that that's a really, really important piece of it too. Like, your practice will likely evolve and change over time.
Totally and completely. Like, it's like in third grade when you get reminders every single day to do your homework. Like, don't forget to do your homework. You should do your homework. You should do your homework before dinner. Don't forget, like, to study before you go to bed. And you're just like, I don't want to. You know, it's like, you don't have that innate desire. And then you get to sixth grade and there's a project that you're like, actually really excited about. And you stay up late and you're like, so excited to present this in the morning because your energy is so different. Like, you're going in so excited and curious to see what could be possible. So I like invite that type of energy into curious practice. And actually, Nora, I wanted to come back to something that you asked about, which was like, I have a really busy mind. How do I turn down the thoughts? Like, is the point of meditation just to have this empty mind? And I would suggest a couple of things. First, something that I do is if I have time, I love to journal before my meditation practice and really like just use it as like a dumping pad for whatever is coming up. And a lot of the time, that is my to-do list.
Mm-hmm. I call it a brain dump.
Yes, brain dump. Just like let it out, whatever needs to come onto the page, and then step into your practice. And whatever is coming up, I always say, like, if it's really important, it's going to come back to you later. So like you might have this like, oh my God, I need to buy tomatoes at the grocery store. Like I need to step out of my practice and write that down. So that's a great reminder. Like that's the practice of mindfulness right there. Noticing that urge and saying, okay, I'm going to practice mindfulness in this moment. I see this thought. I see you, tomato. I know that we got to do that later. I'm going to let you go for right now and return to my breath or return to whatever anchor like feels aligned and inspired to you, whether it's your breath, a mantra, or a felt emotion. And then the last piece is to give yourself permission. Like we are humans. We have these incredible minds. Like our cognitive functioning is so insane. And that's something that is worth celebrating and not beating ourselves up about. And so when we have those thoughts, like a really good practice is to just label them. Like, okay, that's a thought. I'm going to let it go. Oh, I'm experiencing an emotion. That's an emotion. I'm going to let it go. Maybe you like feel an itch in your seat. Like, okay, I'm experiencing a sensation. I'm going to let it go.
I love that. And I definitely appreciate that because I think even when you were talking about like growing up in New England and the perfectionist, like I think that's probably why I love it up here is I'm so drawn to that frenetic energy and the buzziness and the high achieving and all of these things. And it's probably not the best thing, thank poor Pete, to be in that environment. But I think also a lot of my hesitation around committing to this practice is that I feel like I'm not, quote unquote, good at it, which you mentioned earlier. And it's just, you just need that reframe. And something that I have found, and you and I have talked about this before too, is the power of like creating your own meditation experience or even recording yourself and hearing your own words and just making it so much more personal too. Like listening to some random meditation or someone else even, sometimes it's hard to resonate in that and it doesn't speak to you. So I think what's really beautiful about the framework that you outlined for us is that how you can craft this to be a very unique and individualized experience as opposed to just fitting into another mold.
Yeah, it's really the like permission to own it. The permission.
And we don't need to like shame ourselves for like a thought coming up. Like you said, like just label it and be like, cool, thought next.
Like, wow, I am one smart cookie. I got all these thoughts coming up. And that doesn't make me a bad meditator.
Yeah, I think that's too, like, so much of our culture is like, am I good at this? Like, am I doing it right? And it, like, so much of what I'm getting out of this conversation is there's not really a right way to do it. And I think it's just having intentional moments. Like, that is the whole point, is like, can I spend time with myself? And so much of our culture today is distraction and making sure we're not bored and entertaining ourselves and scrolling and all these things. But it's like, what happens when we actually do get quiet and spend a moment with ourselves? And how good does that feel?
Like, it's so interesting, just the outsourcing that is so normal to us of like, okay, I want to meditate. Like, how do I do it? What's the expert saying? Yeah. Tell me the way. And like, I am here. I am a meditation coach. I've been trained and I'm telling you there is no right way to do it. The right way to do it is the way that works for you.
I'm curious what that looks like for you, Hannah. Like, what does your practice look like?
Yeah, such a good question. And I mean, I say all of this because like all of these thoughts have gone through my head too.
Totally.
Like I was trained in a really specific form of meditation through my Chopra coaching and meditation coaching certification programs. And I learned the primordial sound meditation technique, which is a beautiful practice. And essentially, you get a personalized mantra that is associated with the vibration of the earth at the time and place when you were born, which is amazing and like a really beautiful practice that I do lean on here and there. But I wasn't doing it in the way that was suggested, which is 20 minutes twice a day at sunrise and sunset. And
that's rigid.
Yeah. And so I was like having this like internal friction of, wait, I'm a meditation coach and I'm not doing it like in this rigid way. So does that make me bad? Does that mean I shouldn't be a meditation coach? So I kind of had this like crisis. And then I just gave myself permission to let my own practice evolve, to tune into, okay, what do I feel like is going to be supportive for me today? And so do I spend intentional time with myself every day? Absolutely. It's a non-negotiable. Does that look the same way every single day? Absolutely not. Sometimes that looks like doing a guided meditation in the parking lot of Orange Theory after my workout class. Sometimes that looks like a Saturday morning, like snuggled with my dog and my cup of coffee, enjoying like just 10 minutes of silent mindfulness and reflection. Sometimes that looks like stepping into my 20-minute primordial sound meditation practice. And I love that I get to dabble, to evolve, right? We need to give ourselves permission to evolve as humans, right? These points of change are actually amazing because it's like proof that we're evolving and we're allowed to change and grow. So yeah, I always come back to non-negotiable, spending intentional time with myself every day and allowing that to look different.
Permission.
All permission.
I hope people listening are like resonating and just feeling the permission to let this look like whatever it needs to look like for them. And maybe even discover like, I am doing this and I'm not giving myself the credit. Because sometimes like we just need credit where credit is due. And we're like, oh, I really wish that I could meditate. But in our minds, that looks like getting on a cushion somewhere, facing the sun, like having it be this ceremony when, like you said, Hannah, maybe it is 3 breaths in the car before you go into your workout class. You're just tapping in and being like, how am I right now? Like, how am I feeling in my body? Great. I just had an intentional pause with myself and like count it. And then maybe if we're giving ourselves more permission, that's also just alleviating some of the stress we're experiencing in our bodies because we're shitting ourselves and shaming ourselves for not meditating. Lo and behold, a lot of us are.
Yeah, I love that. It's so true. And I totally hear what you're saying because sometimes, as I said, like it doesn't need to be called meditation, whatever you want to call it. It's okay with me.
Me time.
Yeah. And that's, I actually contemplated in my, like what I should call my group meditation program, which is now called the Meditation Lab, where we really just dive into experimentation. We try a different form of meditation every week. We learn a lot of the science behind meditation and we create this amazing group of holding each other accountable with grace and love and support, knowing that every single one of our practices looks different and should, because we're all unique individuals.
I would love for you to share, when is the next cohort? Is that happening? What else do you have going on right now? If people are like, okay, I'm in, I really want to meet and work with Hannah, where can people go?
Yeah, absolutely. We are in the middle of a round right now. So I haven't decided on the official next launch of the Meditation Lab, but probably in April is what I'm thinking. So stay tuned for that. I also host a free 30-minute meditation every Monday.
Oh my God, and people get in there.
Yeah, open and available for everyone to hop into. It's a great just playground and practice. Set yourself up for an intentional week.
Please give us the link so we can put that in the show notes.
Absolutely. I also just developed a new template and tool called the Soul Print, which is essentially like think of yearly goal setting and kind of throw it out the window, but invite back in like your vision board, your mantra, your intention, like all the possibilities that you might be calling in. You get to pick a theme song, and it's really, yeah, it's like my favorite thing because it's this tangible representation that you can literally put on the office of your wall that is like your unique soul print. And it becomes this tool for you to use to come back to again and again and again when you're making everyday decisions, when you're thinking about job opportunities, when you're thinking about goal setting. It's like, oh, is it in alignment?
Yeah, it's like reconnecting with that source energy that is you. It sounds amazing.
Yeah, so that is, I do a 90-minute just one-on-one intensive, which I just started, and it's kind of fun because usually I only work with one-on-ones in my like 3-month long personal discovery coaching program. So if you're like, man, I'd love to get some one-on-one time, but the 3-month coaching is not exactly where I'm at right now, a soul print session is a great way to dip your toe in and to walk away with like a really tangible tool that you can use to implement.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah.
Okay, one of our favorite parts that we wrap up all of our guest sessions with is to do a little lightning round of questions. So I'm going to kick it off, if that's okay.
Bring it on.
All righty. What is your favorite meal to cook or consume?
Okay, I make something called specialty pasta, and it's essentially like kitchen sink pasta that always looks a little bit different every single time I make it, depending on like what's in the pantry, what we had for leftovers last week. But the base is like some type of pasta. I love using bonza pasta, so it's usually that. And then like I literally will throw in anything. It's usually like half veggies, half pasta, maybe with like a venison meat sauce on top of there. Definitely some cheese, and yeah, it's just a really fun, like, creative thing that I love to cook.
Fun. I love that you call it specialty pasta. Like mystery pasta.
I know, my husband's always like, what's in the specialty pasta tonight, Hannah?
Okay, do you prefer your AM or PM routine?
I would say PM. My AM routine looks a little different depending on what I'm doing for my workout. So yeah, PM routine. I have one of those, like, I forget what it's called, but it's like 5-year-long journals where you just like write a little blurb about your day. And I love that practice right before I go to bed. And I love getting into bed, like more than anything in the whole world. So I love like spending time reading in bed. I leave my phone in the kitchen, and it's just like my time to get cozy and unwind.
Do you have a favorite menstrual product?
I feel like I've been really lucky in that I don't get like super intense menstrual symptoms. And so I would say more than anything is it's not a product, but just like overall movement and being really in tune with my body and where and how I'm feeling the desire to move. No matter where I am in my cycle, I know it will be supportive for me.
Love that. Okay, last question. What is one book that has had significant impact on you?
So freaking many. I am like huge book nerd, and anything involving spiritual personal development, I love. One book that has really made a great impact on my life is Frequency by Penny Pierce. If you haven't read it, I highly recommend it. It is the invitation to tune into what Penny Pierce calls like your home frequency, which is your authentic true vibration, and really getting to know that, trusting that, and knowing that when you are embodying that, like the world is here for you.
I haven't read it. I need to pick it up.
Same. No, that sounds fantastic.
Hannah, thank you so much. I have so enjoyed this, and I think our listeners are really going to love it too.
You're so welcome. Yes, I have a feeling everyone is just going to walk away feeling calmer after this conversation. And I think that just speaks to your energy and the presence and the effect that you have on people. And I just think you're so special. So thank you for sharing your time and your truth and all of your wisdom with us. I think a lot of people are concerned and like don't want to share information and keep things kind of close to their chests. And I feel the opposite from you is just like, no, here are the tools. And that is so amazing. So I thank you for that. We're just really, really grateful to know you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you both for having me. And I seriously love supporting people with finding a meditation practice or like diving into personal development or discovery. So if you're listening to this and you have specific questions or curiosities or something came up for you, the best way to reach out to me is just to DM me at Soul Trust Ignite on Instagram. And I'm so open and excited to connect with you all.
Thank you so much for your time today, Hannah. We so appreciate it.
You're so welcome. Big love to both of you. Thanks for having me.
The information in today's episode is not to be used as medical advice. If you are currently struggling with or dealing with something out of the ordinary, we highly recommend talking directly to your provider.